This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hey, Marks. Yeah, I just wanted to get to your experience from what you thought about Autzen Stadium last year when Fresno went down there.
Oh, it was obviously we wish we would have had a better result because we played those guys pretty tough and had our opportunities to win. We didn't execute there at the end, but definitely looking forward to the opportunity to go back in that stadium and obviously you can see what we can get done.
Expecting maybe a little different reaction because it playing with when Fresno goes to Oregon, that might be one thing, but when Washington goes to Oregon, feels like the whole thing just gets bumped up a couple.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good to be part of great rivalries and having opportunities to be in the history books as far as just what is the story that this UW team is going to be able to write, and so we want to make sure that we go in there and then we make everyone proud.
What have you learned about the rivalry since you've been here?
Oh, number one, it's a pretty heated rivalry, to be honest with you. And looking back at all the great players that have actually played in this game and great coaches that have been a part of this game, it's kind of been one thing for me that I've been really focusing on from, from Coach James to Chris Peterson to obviously the coaches that they've had in the past, because it's and the players they've had in the past, and I'm talking about on both teams. And feeling like we really need to uphold a tradition, a standard of just making sure that the Huskies are the team up north that everyone talks about.
What do you feel like you can accomplish with the run game on Saturday? Because it obviously feels like you're going to need to establish something in order to be balanced.
Yeah, absolutely. Number one is the O-line, tight ends, and running backs. We all need to be in sync. And making sure that we're all on the same page of, blocking, the backs are hitting the hole that, that is where it's designed to hit, and staying on track and pressing it and, running with their eyes, reacting with their feet and making sure they have great ball security and finishing going forward and just really just staying on schedule and staying in front of the chains. And, if we block her for five, let's go get seven. If we, we block her for seven, let's go get a first down. And just making sure we break tackles and we finish forward.
I know, even talking to you as early as spring, just the idea of how all around, you talked about Marshall Faulk maybe being one of the templates that you like to use. When you saw Cameron make that catch against Oregon State for that third down conversion, I know Coach Grubb said it was maybe one of the best clutch catches he's seen before. What was your vantage point?
That's what we're supposed to do. And I don't mean that to sound tough but, if it hits our hands, we're supposed to catch the ball. And we always say, big time players make big time plays and big time games. But in the reality is, just make plays. And when your number is called, is that you got to make sure you deliver, and we got to make sure we catch the football. So the first thing I told him was, "Hey, great catch, but we got another play. Like, let's move on. Like, that was great, but what are you going to do next?" So just focusing on every play having a new life.
Was not so much surprising, but in general, has he surprised you in that way, being able to catch the ball the way he has?
No, I mean, CD can catch the football. I mean, I truly feel like this for majority of my guys, it really just comes down to concentration and focus. It's like, are you going to frame the football, seeing it all the way in, two eyes, two hands, all the way into the tuck? And again, it's like if you're able to catch the ball, if we're putting you in this position, that means we trust you to be able to catch the ball. Because if you couldn't, we wouldn't have you run this play. So,
and how has that worked? I mean, kind of going with your gut and kind of going with the hot hand, things like that. How has that rotation maybe gone for you as the season has gone? Especially now we're getting into the games you remember in November, right?
Yeah, games you remember in November. Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, the rotation has been going for me as expected, as far as my going with my gut, that I know it was going to be just more than probably just two guys. Now in this past game, we just rolled two guys, which seemed to work out really, really well. But at the end of the day, I think it just really called for, this game really called for those two guys to really play and just kind of let those guys roll with it and get into a rhythm and get used to how the game is flowing. And I kind of hope to kind of stick to that a little bit. But at the same time, I mean, we still have other guys in the room that can really get the job done. I mean, you know, Will Nixon, you know, he got banged up, and I was going to try to see what he can do and and those things. Same thing with Rich and Sam. So we just got to, you know, again, stick with my gut and just kind of see how the game flows a little bit.
From your guys' perspective as the running back group, Coach Grubb talked about how getting those third down conversions, getting, you know, punching it through in the red zone when you need to, that's something that hasn't been a problem for a few weeks now. For your guys' part, what do you feel like got cleaned up?
Just really go hit their head on the goalposts. I just tell them, like, hey, man, at the end of the day, that line is just a line. Your line is in the back of the end zone. So go finish your runs. You know, and it doesn't matter how, if it's blocked clean or not, your job is to find a way. That's part of the requirements here at UW, to play running back here at UW. You know, part of our requirements is you have to find a way to get the job done. So that's what's expected of you. And same thing with CD on the catch. I expect you to make that catch because that is what we're supposed to do here at UW.
Coach Grubb also said that he expects Oregon to bring that. He called it kitchen sink. He expects everything. He says you've almost seen every conceivable scheme, coverage, everything like that. For your guys' part, whether it's pass protection, whether it's running the ball, whether it's going out for a catch, what does that mean for you guys? Does that just mean your versatility is heightened even more?
No, we always expect the kitchen sink, especially in really pass protection. I mean, that's really what you're referring to, is like, what are we really expecting to see? I mean, we know their personnel. We know who those guys are. We've watched them all week. But what new wrinkles do they have? And they show us one thing, but are they going to do something else? So we always expect the kitchen sink, but at the end of the day, if we stick to our rules will make us, no matter what, will keep us right. So I wouldn't say make us right. I would say just keep us right, because you just have to stick to our rules. You know, the scheme that we have here offensively, I really feel like it's second to none. It's just how well do we execute it.
And talk about sticking to the rules, sticking to the process. All the noise on the outside between the Washington and Oregon fans are going to make this thing into a gigantic game. Mm-hmm. I know that sometimes maybe players want to make it into a bigger game, but they don't want to deviate from the process. Mm-hmm. How do you straddle that line? It seems like it'd be a tricky thing.
Well, number one, I mean, it's all the talking going back and forth. That's outside of this building. What's important is focusing on our guys. So coaches, players included, not paying attention to the outside noise and what's being written, what's being talked about, who's walking around with what on, is it green, is it not green, all those things. It doesn't matter. It's like, what are we really doing to get ready for the game? And really, it's about getting better from last week. Because if we just concentrate on that, just get improving and sticking to the process, then you know what, we'll be all right. But if you sit there and you try to make it bigger than what the process is, then that's where you might fall, you might fail, because you made it bigger than what it is. All it is about getting better from last week to this week and making sure that we are staying, having that mental focus, right, that mental stamina to really just keep that intensity the whole time, whether it's just your mental focus, physical, or whatever we need to get done, and that's what's most important.
Sounds like Coach Lanning did. He popped in, bowed down to Washington into their practice when they're practicing with noise and things like that.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you guys do to try to engender that same feeling, or do you feel like you go a different way?
That's probably more internally, just what we like to probably keep to ourselves. I mean, obviously they have a good coaching staff. You know, definitely respect those guys a ton, and their head coach as well. But we're getting ready the best way we can. So,
Jamarcus Sheppard.
People got to tackle. People got to catch. People got to run. People got to throw. Well, we got to find a way to be the team that comes out victorious and does it better than the other team. So, it gets all pumped up and stuff throughout the week. But I try to be more focused on, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is the defense they're going to run. This is the blitz they're going to bring. This is the coverage they're going to have. So then that way on Saturday, they're prepared.
I know you're obviously the wide receivers coach, but how helpful is it having – a couple tight ends like a Dev and a Westover leaking over the middle and doing the kind of things that they provide in the passing game?
Oh man, they do a great job, honestly. I just love they practice. They're very intentional when they practice. You know, they're very singular mindset. We talk a lot about when you come to practice, for those 2 hours that you're out here, you know, you're completely dedicated to this. I mean, we can't be worried about, you know, what's going on back home or what tests I got coming up. And those two guys are singularly focused on practice when that time comes.
When looking at the film, Oregon's defense looks like they've been struggling quite a bit. What do you see from their secondary?
Actually, I think they've been doing a great job. Zero with two picks last week, had a phenomenal game. He's a kid actually that was committed to us at one point while we were at Purdue, and when I was at Purdue. And so, you know, I kind of have a little bit of a relationship and know him pretty well. I think their linebackers have been physical. You know, at the end of the day, when you play in football games and you're up big in the game, you know, teams resort to other things to try to find a way to get back into the game. So, you know, it ends up, you know, costing you a few yards here and there. But for the most part, they've strapped it up and played well enough to let their offense get them ahead in games. So I don't think they've been playing bad. I think they've been playing pretty good.
I'm curious for you. You know, you've coached at Washington State in this conference. You've been in rivalries at Purdue. Does any part of you think, I'm kind of curious to see what this whole thing's about stepping into, you know, this rivalry this weekend?
Yes, I certainly have been to some pretty cool ones. Have seen people get spit on and people get drinks tossed on them and all that cool stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm not in the stands. I'm on the field. I don't know what's going on in the stands with all the rest of the people. I just, you know, hope and pray that they treat my family the right way, my little ones and whatnot. But I hear it's going to be pretty rowdy. So, you know, I enjoy it personally from a personal standpoint. But again, my job is to keep our guys on the even keel so they're ready to play on Saturday and execute on Saturday. Like, yeah, I'm excited about it. I want to have fun with it, but I want to keep them on the right level so then that way they can execute.
How tempting is it to use, because obviously Rome is kind of the ball, guy you want to get the ball a lot to, but as he's getting more and more focused on defenses, is he kind of a guy where you can almost use him as a decoy to get Giles and Jalen some of the opportunities that maybe he's getting?
You know, I think that's kind of the misconception right now in our offense. I mean, so many people have touched the football, scored touchdowns and whatnot. So, honestly, we don't really operate in a way where we're just singularly focused on getting someone a ball. There are times when Rome is a decoy last week and maybe people knew it or didn't know it, so maybe he wasn't that good of a decoy. I don't know, but that's how the offense operates. We're not out there just saying, hey, this person has to get the ball. Sometimes we're playing the odds. Sometimes we're just running our offense, and we want our guys to just execute, expecting that the football is going to come to them on every single play.
Jalen having the drops this season, just kind of what's your message been to him? Because obviously there's only so much you can practice, you know, certain ways you can practice catching and not dropping the ball. But kind of what's your message been to him about that?
You know, there's two trains of thought on that. You know, some coaches go heavy on trying to get into a lot of vision and things of that nature, and sometimes that can get in the head of a kid, versus other coaches kind of like try to stray away from it a little bit more and kind of let him figure it out on his own and whatnot. I think I try to do a little bit of a combination of both to help him just, you know, push the envelope to try to make those plays. I mean, there's no question about it. J-Mac is a high-level player, and, you know, he expects to make those plays. And I think when those opportunities comes up, he'll make them. Certainly in the offseason, we'll do some things differently in the offseason to try to help him. And then, of course, I mean, we're doing our little things here and there now to help him. But it's very uncharacteristic of him, really, to be honest about it. It's very uncharacteristic. We don't expect it at all. We don't expect that to happen at all with him.
Just thoughts on Jalen back returning punts?
Love it. Okay? Love it. I think sometimes part of football is putting pressure on yourself to perform when your best is needed. And right now, his best is needed right there at punt return. So he's got to put pressure on himself to perform in those moments because our football team needs him back there. And to be honest about it, I mean, I think he's had the longest return this year so far on punt returns. And then, honestly, we as a group feel pretty comfortable with him back there just because he can see it. He really does a good job seeing it. And so I'm excited for him. It just adds to his resume.
Do you ever return a punt back in the day?
I did. I did only once in college, and
what happened?
I let it bounce, and then I scooped it up, and I got yards afterwards. And then when I played in the Hula Bowl out in Hawaii, they actually had us all competing to earn the starting kickoff return and punt return job, and I earned both jobs out at the Hula Bowl. D3 kid, all these kids from all these major Power 5 programs, and I did my job and ran out there and won the job. So I'm a competitor, and I want these guys to be competitors. And so I'm late. I hope they hear this and know I am the best returner we got. Okay, period.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Scott Huff.
I wear shorts every day I've been here, other than when I'm recruiting.
If I could get away with it, I would.
Yeah.
What
advantage of being a football coach?
I was going to say, recollections of the last time you went down to Eugene? Pretty incredible game, all things, you know, especially from the neutral.
Right, yeah, it was that was a long time ago, it feels like.
It does.
Yeah, it was a game that was a good football game. Obviously, we came up short, so it wasn't that good of a game. But, I definitely remember it.
I mean, just in terms of the things that you can take away from it and the things that you need to use to prepare for it in terms of, like, noise and those kinds of
things.
Yeah,
I mean, I think there's always – all big game, any game, right? There's all the momentum changes throughout, and it's just being poised and being ready to handle the ups and downs of any football game, but certainly in a hostile environment, you got to be just a little bit more detailed and focused.
I don't want to be shortchanging the other venues that you've gone to in the Pac-12, but going to Austin's a pretty unique experience. You have to – do you pipe in extra noise? Are there other things that you do that maybe you wouldn't do at other places?
Crowd noise is crowd noise. I mean, and the crowd gets into it. There are certain situations that are obviously worse than others. You're backed up, you know, or third downs. It's hard to hear. And the guys got to be on it with verbal and nonverbal communication and try to it's obviously an advantage for – we see it here, you know, every other weekend, right, at Husky Stadium, what an advantage is for our guys. And certainly it makes it harder for the offensive line to communicate and to get off on the snap count and those types of things. But we'll do our best to make sure that we limit the disadvantage as much as possible.
One quick question. It just seems like Troy seems to get an unusual call every week. Personal foul, weird stuff. What's going on there?
Sometimes – you play hard and things don't always go your way. And certainly we don't want to take away from the aggressive play, but we got to learn from every one of those penalties and try to do better the next time. But certainly like the mindset.
It sounds like it was more of an effort penalty in the sense that maybe didn't get the mechanics down correct, but the idea was right?
No, absolutely. The idea, the mentality is absolutely correct. He should have just stayed on top of the defender and not let him start to get back up and then jump back on top of him. Yeah. That was really what it boiled
down to. You ever coach
him
where they just go sit on him?
not sit on him, but hey, there's certain things where it's like, you know, if you're into hunting dogs at all, like there's, you know, you can breed them all you want and just, you know, some dogs hunt, some dogs don't. And there's certain moments right there we can try to educate them, but, you know, it's their natural instinct takes over. And more times than not, I like it. You know, like, did that situation hurt us? Absolutely. We're going to try to learn from it for sure.
I was going
to
say, guys like Troy, guys like Jackson, guys like Roger, you use the hunting dog analogy. Those guys seem to be guys that are pulling on the chain all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely, and that's what you want, right? I mean, they don't score touchdowns. That's what they're there to do. They're there to protect and try to bully, and that's why we recruit them.
You're a month into the, or a little more over a month, I guess, into the kind of the Troy at tackle, Jackson at guard thing. Feel like it's going exactly how you wanted it to?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is the guys feel confident, and I think I was talking with Softy last week, and it's just, you know, confidence is cash, whether that's with your children that you're raising to make good decisions, being comfortable and confident in who they are. When the guys walk out on the field, they got to feel really good about their preparation and about their opportunity. And so I think both guys would tell you that they're very confident in the positions that they're playing right now. And as a coach, that's what you want.
I was really curious about bringing in Mateo late in the game against Oregon State and just the way he was able to perform without having played earlier in the game. It seemed to be pretty remarkable.
Yeah, we you know, I know you guys don't get to see all this stuff, but we have most of this stuff is scripted beforehand, and so it just, you know, hopefully it goes as planned and how we prepare. And Mateo felt very confident in going in there, and sometimes the games don't go exactly how you want them early on, like, you know, we kind of struggled obviously in the first half there, and you know, you'd like to have gotten him in maybe a little bit earlier, but Corey does a great job too, so we're in a really good situation. We're lucky to have both those guys, and it just worked out that way. And yeah, Mateo did a good job. But he does a good job in practice, and that gives everybody confidence to put him in.
Also curious about the amount of snaps with Nate and Gearin and Mateo, I guess, yeah, as well. Do you feel like you're getting them in the game enough to keep them motivated and keep them involved?
Yeah, I think, you know, hopefully we can. It certainly felt good about what happened in the game on Saturday and getting those guys playing time. And I wish we could play. We got 12. I mean, I'd like to play all the guys if I could. You know, it's just, again, you know, we got to. So we work on it. Guys earn stuff, and we try to reward them the best we can.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Coach Schmidt, and Coach, just kind of wanted to know, before you came here, did you know about the rivalry between Washington and Oregon and what it meant?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, nationwide, everybody can see those games and understand the importance of it, not only geographically, it being a, you know, I mean, two schools that are close together that recruit, you know, I mean, the same areas, but I think two programs that have been successful too as well. A lot of times I think, you know, this game probably will have, you know, year in and year out implications on who wins the league and you know, I mean, who has an opportunity to be able to get in bowl games and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's, you know, I mean, that's pretty much, I think, nationwide, everybody knows about that.
Bo Nix is one of the biggest playmakers in the country, not just in the conference, but in the country. How do you guys contain him, especially if you're trying to get after him in the pass rush?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I mean, it's a blend of trying to do some things and take away some things that he likes, whether that's, you know, I mean, certain windows, not give away certain pockets where it's easy for him to step up and be able to get into throws or see the field. So, you know, just trying to get him to escape, you know, I mean, set traps and things like that, trying to get him to escape to places that we want him to. And then, you know, the problem with a guy like him is like, hey, you can do things pretty well, and then all of a sudden it's a one-on-one battle in the open field, and you got to be able to win that matchup now too as well. So definitely a guy that can do a lot of things with his feet, create a lot of plays with his feet, and things that, you know, we're going to have to be able to do a good job in scramble situations.
Is he a lot like DTR?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, you know, all those guys have some similarities, you know what I mean? But I think he's, you know, DTR is I think, a guy that's really, really fast. I think Bo, once he gets going, you know, he's taken him 80 yards this year. So I think there are some similarities there. I do think that Bo will do some things. I think he's a little maybe more crafty at times with getting guys in the air and pump faking guys. And you can tell he's played a lot of football. Like, he's comfortable in uncomfortable situations. So I think that's the one thing you see from him is he'll, when things break down, like, it's not a panic button. It's a process, and he's been through that before. And he looks pretty confident when he does it.
Some of the fundamentals that you guys were coaching up to contain DTR, and you guys struggle a little bit with that. Is that something that the guy, I'm sure you're doing a lot of that same coaching as far as Bo Nix is concerned, but are the players in maybe a better position to contain that now, considering they've seen DTR and what that's like and what you're asking for them to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, we've seen, the gamut of quarterbacks now, whether it's big, tall pocket guys off it or, guys that are going to get out on the edge and perimeter and try to run and spread you out. So I just think it comes down to our guys being in tune and being, just connected in the pass rush more than anything else. I felt like when we were at UCLA, we just, we weren't moving our feet as well. I always felt like we were a second late getting to spots and stuff like that. And we didn't win as many times up front either, And then all of a sudden, the other thing is they start moving it and they stay on schedule. It's a little bit harder for you to be able to predict what the play is going to be as far as that goes. So I do think our guys have done a better job as the season's gone along here. There's been some quarterback scrambles, but I feel like, I don't have the exact statistics, but the longest run we've given up all year, I think right now is somewhere between 30 and 35 yards, So I think, that's obviously, I think the biggest thing with Nix is not just the, him being able to scramble, it extends drives. Like, that's probably the most disappointing thing, I think, and demoralizing thing on defense is that you get him in a third and long and you do a good job of playing tight coverage, and all of a sudden he makes a play with his feet, and now you're out there, of having another set of downs. So that, and then just him being able to scramble and create big plays. I think that's always the things on defense that really make you nervous is, hey, man, he extends a play, and now somebody loses a guy deep down the field or there's nobody left, type of deal, depending on what coverage you're in, and now he makes an explosive play and really changes field position. That's what we have to do a good job of guarding against.
Looking back at the tape from Oregon State, did you think your guys played pretty well, and how did you guys come out of that game health-wise? Because I know you guys got a little bit dinged up.
Yeah, it was a physical football game. I think, guys like Jeremiah and Braylon, I think the things you probably don't see are all the communication that goes along with our front and being able to make adjustments, being able to be multiple in fronts and give those guys different looks and not only put us in good positions, our defense in good positions, but being able to keep, the ball going where you want to go and where you want it to go, and being able to make sure that, hey, this is the tackler, the ball's got to show up where the tackler's at. I thought as the game went along, like, we got more adjusted and got more comfortable, defending what they were doing. And I thought our guys did a better job of that, like just eating up blocks, taking care of the fullback, the tight end, making sure that, hey, we could make it down, maybe not even a one-on-one, a two-on-one, in certain situations. Their backs are good players, it was definitely a physical football game, and our guys felt it. I felt like, it was nice to be able to play that thing actually on Friday and give our guys one extra day, to be able to recoup a little bit. But definitely, I think, I think it was a little bit different game. Like, that was one where, hey, we know you guys can rush the passer. Now, can you do some things at the line of scrimmage to be able to secure a gap? Can you fit up a tight end, a fullback, a zone scheme, a gap scheme, all that type of stuff? Can you fit it up consistently? And I thought we did a better job as the game went along.
Oregon's a top five team in the country and fewest sacks allowed. What do you do to get after them?
Well, I think, first of all, what else Oregon is I think a top 10 team in the country in running the football. So I think, first of all, if you're good running the ball, then you're not throwing it as much. And it really, I think that's probably the biggest equalizer when it comes to pass rush. So I think, first of all, for us is being able to be good on first and second down and get them into some third and long situations. They just haven't been, in those positions consistently. And I think that's the key. And then they do a good job. Like, they'll throw screens, they'll run draws, they'll do different things to be able to get the ball out of his hands early and protect him. I think that's always the sign of a good offense, right? Like, some guys will just sit back there and say, hey, man, we're going to throw hot, we'll let our quarterback get hit, and that's just the case. That's just how we're going to do it, where I think they do a good job of being able to say, hey, we're going to count for rushers off it in our protection, and then we'll get out of his hand if we need to and make sure that he's not taking unnecessary, shots. So, to me, it's just, hey, there's no magic formula where you got to come up with some, great scheme or anything like that. I think it's just us going out there playing really, really fundamentally – sound football and play hard and get those guys, get those guys off schedule a little bit, and then our guys will do a good job. We get in those positions, like they're pretty good at what they do. So they'll be, they'll be a handful when it gets to that. We got to get to as many of those situations in the game as we can.
How are you going to stop Oregon this week?
I mean, it's a tall task. I think the biggest thing is just not giving them the easy ones. And, that's what they're elite. I mean, they've got a, unbelievable quarterback who can make plays with his feet and his arm. And, they're really dangerous in terms of being explosive. And I think you got to try to work as hard as you can to limit the explosives.
Do they do anything unique or do they just execute?
They do a lot of unique things. I think schematically they're very advanced. They challenge you. In a lot of different ways. I think they're, you look at them, statistically very well balanced. I mean, they're going to run the ball very effectively, but then they can also throw the ball just as well. And so, you got to be well-rounded in your approach to the game plan.
When your guys are taking their reads, I'm sure some schools are easier than others. How difficult is it to make the reads on Oregon?
How difficult is it? The thing we've been talking about all week is you just got to maintain eye discipline throughout the course of the entire play. Just because there's for every play that they have, there's a setup play and there's an explosive, a gotcha play that comes off of all their base plays. And so it's just really about maintaining your discipline. At the same time, you still have to have a very aggressive mindset. I think you can get in the mode where you're sitting back on your heels waiting for their shot plays, and then it gets you in trouble in terms of defending their ground game.
And Bo Nix?
He's fantastic. I mean, he's just amazing just to watch him operate the offense at a super high elite level. And I think one of the things that he does that's the most dangerous is when the play is all but shut down and stopped, he can still win on third down with his feet. And he's had some fantastic runs throughout the course of the year, so he's a handful.
With Nix, no one's really slowed him since the opener. What's the first priority when it comes to defending someone like that?
Well, I think you got to be able to manage their run game. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. Their run game is setting up so many of the other things that they're doing well right now. And, if they get you going sideways on the run game or you're on your heels in terms of their rushing attack, I think it allows him to get comfortable. It challenges you in terms of being able to get them in third and long situations. They're in a lot of third and short, fourth and short, and they're very aggressive going for it all the time. So you got to be really careful, on third down and fourth down and how you approach it. But I think the critical part is you got to win some first and second downs in the run game.
Having Eddie back, what does that do, especially on a game on the road against Oregon?
Just raw veteran leadership. I'm just so excited. Personally, I'm so excited for him. I think sit up in my office for the last 6 or 7 months and see him out on this field trying to get back every day. And I just know how much time, effort, and energy he's put into getting himself back. And his football IQ is fantastic. Got a little taste of having him on the field last week. But I know this for sure is that the lights aren't going to be too big for him.
Is it a little bit that he understands this game a little bit more than the others as well?
Yeah. His football intelligence is top-notch, and he studies and prepares. And I think the key for Eddie is he's been studying and preparing the entire season that he's been down. He's been preparing the same way as if he was playing.
It looked like to me on film anyways that Thule, really took a step up.
Yeah, Thule. I think Thule, Thule quietly has been one of our defensive MVPs this year. Really consistent production for him, very physical at the point of attack, and, he makes disruptive plays on a regular basis, and, really pleased with his progress throughout the course of the season.
It just seems like you could really use somebody next to him stepping up.
Yeah, I mean, we've had to work some different guys in there. I've had a few guys that have been banged up down there, and it just depends on situation. I think we've got some good production out of Boy in some of the pass game stuff. I think Tui has been very consistent for us at times, and so we've been working a big mix of guys in there. Jay Parker still working in there for us, so and then MJ. We need MJ to definitely be a force in the middle.
Can the edges be as Braylon and Jeremiah in this type of game where you're trying to limit Bo Nix and scrambling ability?
Well, they're critical. They're critical because they're really good at setting the edge in the run game. And so I think that's the first priority. And then the second piece of it is their ability to rush the passer. And it's going to be a relentless pursuit of him. I think there's some similar characteristics to, Arizona's quarterback where he can make any play turn into something special on any given down. And so you got to be relentless in your first move, your combination moves, and your counter moves.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.